In your Bibles to Psalm 23. I'm going to read the whole psalm for us to set the tone for what we'll be looking at this evening. Psalm 23. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Lord and our God, as we consider who you are this evening, we pray that you would give us a bigger and brighter picture, a more full picture of who you are and who we are in relationship to you. Lord, reveal yourself to us. May we think rightly about you. And Lord, give us the faith to trust in you. We ask, Lord God, that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, the New Testament is filled with truths from the Old Testament. Principles, quotations, allusions, and references abound. And if we are unaware of the rich truths and images of the Old Testament, much of what we find in the New Testament will not be as full or as beautiful. And yet, when we have the Old Testament scripture images in our mind and resonating in our hearts, the New Testament explodes with a color and liveliness which often we don't expect. As we continue in our study of the Gospel of John, we've come to John chapter 10 and Jesus' final public discourse. And the topic is that of the Good Shepherd. Now, much can be gleaned from a very simple study of that chapter, of that passage, apart from the knowledge of the Old Testament. However, Jesus draws heavily upon a central theme and image from the Old Testament scriptures. And that is the image of the shepherd and the sheep relationship. And so gaining a better understanding of this truth and having a better picture of it in our minds will bring greater color and depth to the New Testament, to our understanding and appreciation for what Jesus says to the people in John chapter 10. And so this evening, I want to briefly examine this idea of the shepherd sheep motif in the Old Testament, with the hope that you will not only have a better understanding of John chapter 10 when we get to it next week, Lord willing, but that you will also remember and see that God, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, is your good and dear shepherd. I have 4 points this evening at which to look, and the first one is this. The Lord is the shepherd of Israel and of individual believers who are regarded as his sheep. The Lord is the shepherd of Israel and of individual believers who are regarded as his sheep. Of the many images given to us in the Bible depicting the relationship between the Lord and his people, none seems as prominent as that of the shepherd-sheep relationship. Over and over again, God's people are referred to as sheep. We read in the call to worship this evening in Psalm 95, verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." In Isaiah 53, 6, it is said that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Similarly, in Psalm 119, David confesses, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." And the Lord is time and time again spoken of as a shepherd. Psalm 80, verse 1, which we sang, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." And all of Psalm 23 refers to God in this way. And in verse 1 we sing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Even God himself takes this idea and imagery upon himself, the shepherd, and promises to tend and care for his sheep. In Ezekiel 34, he speaks, "Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God." And it's with this idea, this picture, that God wants us to view the relationship between us and himself. It's in this context of the shepherd and sheep relationship that God desires you to understand your connection with him, because it's one of the best expressions and examples of who we are, but more importantly, of who God is. And understanding this imagery more will help you understand Jesus more and your relationship to him. And one of the things that we need to see and highlight about God, one of the things that this imagery helps us to understand about him, is that he is a good, tender-hearted, and loving God. And the reason we know this is because in our second point, the Lord is a very good, a very tender-hearted, and loving shepherd. The Lord is a very good, a very tender-hearted, and loving shepherd. The Lord God does everything a good shepherd is supposed to do. And we have a beautiful description of his care as a shepherd in Psalm 23. Look through it as I talk about it here. The Lord provides for all of our needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He grants to his sheep rest and peace and makes sure that they are nourished and sustained. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He provides protection and security and comfort to his sheep when trouble, danger, or death is near. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. He treats his sheep as precious, and he treasures them. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. His care fosters a great sense of trust and hope and love for him among his sheep, so much so that they are absolutely convinced, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." His care is so good for his people that they're convinced of that fact. And as we read in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he is gentle and he is compassionate towards his sheep. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. And these are the descriptions of the Lord and his heart and his care for his people as a shepherd. And these are the descriptions of the Lord and his heart and his care for you. Do you view the Lord in this way? Do you see your God through this lens of being a sheep and he your shepherd? Do you see his care for you in this way? Sometimes we may be tempted to see God only as the one who is harsh and swift to punish us when we step out of line. But the image of the shepherd shows us that he is tender, that he is loving, and he's patient and gentle with us. Maybe you think that you only face trouble in this life and only bad things ever seem to happen to you. But the truth is that God works all things together for your good, and the image of the shepherd convinces us that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Do you count yourself to be unwanted in the kingdom of God? That God begrudgingly saved you and now he grows weary with you? No, the image of the shepherd shows us that the Lord counts you as precious, that he treasures you. Do not fear the threats or evils that come against you either. The image of the shepherd reminds us that he provides protection and security and comfort in trials and afflictions so that you may greatly rejoice. Not to mention the promise to take you through the veil of death without a sting. Is your heart concerned that you perhaps have fallen from the Lord, from his grace, that perhaps because of your sin you will not make it to heaven after all? Well, the image of the shepherd shows us that the Lord brings us peace. In Jesus, God has brought us justification with him, that you have peace with God. Your shepherd has granted you rest He has granted you peace everlasting. He nourishes and sustains you by feeding you with his word and spirit. He leads you beside those still waters. What a picture of the Lord's care for us that is found in this imagery of the shepherd. Keep this image in view and see that the Lord is a very good, a very tender-hearted and loving shepherd. This is your God to you. As the great shepherd who dwells in heaven, God has called certain individuals to serve as his under-shepherds, to lead and guide and care for his flock. They were to be representatives on the earth and representatives of his shepherding arm upon the earth. Men like Moses and Samuel and David, they all served as under-shepherds of God, ruling and caring for God's people. And they were good and they were godly shepherds. There are, nevertheless, evil shepherds. There are, nevertheless, evil shepherds. That's the third point. Unlike Moses, Samuel, and David, and ultimately unlike God himself, wicked and evil shepherds had arisen among the people of God. Shepherds which took advantage of God's people. Shepherds which cared only for themselves and not for the flock of God. Shepherds which harmed and abused the sheep. Shepherds which would forsake the flock and leave them vulnerable to danger. You can read about all of this in Ezekiel 34. And the Lord speaks out against such shepherds. In Ezekiel 34, he commands the prophet to cry out against them. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatling, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. How stark a contrast this is. These false shepherds are, these evil shepherds are, with the kind of shepherd that the Lord is. Just think back to the descriptions we heard of the good shepherd in Psalm 23 and Isaiah 40. These shepherds are nothing like the Lord. They are evil shepherds. And so God declares in Jeremiah 23, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. And in Zechariah 11, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. These false and evil shepherds had arisen among Israel during the time of the prophets, but they had also arisen during the time of Jesus as well. The leaders and the Pharisees of the times were abusing the people of God. They were taking advantage of them, laying on them heavy burdens. The people of God were shepherdless. They cared only for themselves and not for the people. Just think of all of the health and wealth, prosperity, gospel preachers of our own day who lead their flocks into error, or the televangelists who continually take advantage of people and their money, claiming that giving to them is a great act of faith, or even those pastors and preachers who are otherwise orthodox in their theology but are legalistic in their practice and lay heavy burdens upon their people and lord their authority over them, or liberal pastors and churches which have compromised the truth and doctrine for the sake of unity, allowing their people to become food for evil men and for heresies. I thank God that in his grace the Lord has granted to this church, and in fact this whole denomination, under shepherds who strive to know and love their God and live to serve and care for the flock of God. Praise God for this. I hope you do. I hope you see how your great shepherd has led you into green pastures here. Praise him for it. Because wicked and evil shepherds abound in our land. They do so now, and they did so in Israel's day. And such evil and wicked shepherds took advantage of and abused and forsook the flock of God, causing within the people a longing for the true shepherd, a longing for a shepherd who would be like unto the Lord, one who would care for them and love them and provide for them. And God, in his infinite kindness and grace, purposed to send forth the ultimate good shepherd for the great Son of David, the Messiah, the one great shepherd of the Lord's people. The great Son of David, the Messiah, is the one great shepherd of the Lord's people. After God rebukes the merciless, vile, and wicked false shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel 34, he gives the blessed promise of the great shepherd to come. Listen to his words of the promise in verse 23. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And in Jeremiah 23:5, the Lord speaks of this same one and says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness on the earth. Now, of course, these words were written well after David had lived on the earth, well after he had died. So it wasn't David himself who would rule over them. It wasn't David himself who would feed them and be their shepherd, but it was the greater than David who was to come. God had declared, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And how incredible a thing it would have been for the people living in Jesus' day, those who were being abused and harmed and neglected by the rulers of the day, those who are receiving heavy burdens from their false shepherds, those who cared nothing of them but of only themselves. How incredible a thing it would have been for these people to hear Jesus declare in John 10, All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jesus had come as that long-awaited Messiah shepherd. He had come to fulfill the longing of Israel. He had come to gather his lost sheep, which were spread across the globe, both Jew and Gentile alike. Jesus has come as the shepherd of his people. And it's this Jesus, this great shepherd of the sheep, who grants us peace, who grants us rest, and makes us nourished and sustained. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We can take these words as our own. He provides protection and security and comfort to us when in trouble, danger, or death is near. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, Jesus, are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He treats us as precious and treasures us. Jesus, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. He fills our hearts with a great sense of trust and of hope and of love for him, so much so that we say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, all because of Jesus. And he is gentle, and he is compassionate towards us. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Our shepherd has come to us. He has come to lead us in the way everlasting that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so as we move into the study of John chapter 10, let us keep this glorious Old Testament picture of the shepherd and his sheep before our eyes. Let us remember that the Lord is the shepherd of Israel and of individual believers who are called his sheep. Let us remember that the Lord is a very good, a very tender-hearted and loving shepherd. And let us remember that there are nevertheless evil shepherds. But may we never forget the great Son of David, the Messiah, that he is the one great shepherd of the Lord's people. And that he has come. And that even though God has granted to his church under shepherds to care for and nurture you, that we too are sheep who are cared for and follow the shepherd. And may he give us grace to shepherd you as he shepherds us. And may you ultimately long for your chief shepherd above all things, Jesus Christ, in whom you will find rest for your souls. See Jesus as your loving and dear shepherd. You are his sheep. He is your shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this imagery of the shepherd and the sheep. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our shepherd, and that even though evil shepherds had arisen among the people of Israel, even though evil shepherds had arisen among the people of Jesus' day, even though evil shepherds have arisen in our own day, Lord God, you care for your people, and you lead us and guide us by your one true shepherd. And Lord, we recognize that all of us still fall short. Even the shepherds you have placed over your people now still sin and fall short of what you would desire. So in that, Lord, give us a great longing for Jesus Christ, our true shepherd, the true shepherd of our souls. May we lean on him. May you give us peace. We ask these things for the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.